Yeah, let's finish this this one episode here.
All right.
And if I can think of something other really important question that I want to ask you this time, I'll do so, and then we'll save the rest for another day.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Well, you said Dr. Love would come to the library. It's true. And I don't think he would call him a strong intellectual. He was a wonderful president. We admired him very much, and he had a wonderful attitude. And very, always supportive of us, and he was supportive of academic freedom and all these things. And faculty liked him too, so did I. He came into my office one time, just walked in, and see, I was surprised. And as I say, you don't go through any secretaries or office in that way that old arrangement was. Uh-huh. And he smiled a rather ingratiating smile and asked how things were going. And I said, well, an awful lot of things to do. He said, well, I didn't have anything to do this afternoon, so I just thought I'd stop by and greet you. And to my embarrassment afterwards, when he said he didn't have anything to do, I said, aren't you lucky? I'm awfully busy.
In other words, and then I realized, please go away, Dr. Love.
I realized, oh my God, what a faux pas. He's an extremely busy man, and he went out of his way just to drop in to see me, but he was... Well, that's the way he was. Anyhow, I always regretted.
So. Huh? He should have said that. He should have said, I wanted to come over and talk to you.
Well.
Instead of kind of skirting the issue. And
oh, it's all right. I don't mind. But I should have known enough not to take him up on the thought.
Did you ever have the opportunity to guide him around the library and show him what was going on, or a little show-and-tell open house sort of thing for President Love? Himself?
You know, I don't recall very well. I have a vague memory of having taken him around in the new library soon after we were in it.
No.
I'm pretty sure I did take him on a tour then, but I don't remember it very clearly. He was a very informal person. He didn't, you know, just set up appointments 2 weeks in advance
mm-hmm.
and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
He was...
Did you ever... Oh, one other thing. I won't go into President Love more because there are some more questions I can ask you about him and other administrators and staff and librarians on campus as
mm-hmm.
well. But about the construction of the library building, I have seen pictures of the library under construction and see the big plywood wall that was erected around the construction site. And, of course, there was construction graffiti all over those plywood walls. And... this is fresh in my mind because, of course, the construction graffiti, that's what they originally called it, turned into artwork along the plywood walls here around the social services building. Did anybody even give it a second thought? Was it a big deal? Did people put special messages up there?
I don't think graffiti was a thing in those days, and although I think there was some writing on that wall in
some
places.
There was some. It was anti-war, I believe, for the most part.
Anti-Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
no doubt. No doubt at all. Uh-huh.
But it wasn't an issue. Nobody thought
no.
anything about saving those panels for posterity
no.
or making a book
Never
out of them
of
or
no.
making a book out of the photographs or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe
okay.
spray
I'm just out of
perhaps mind. Spray cans weren't in yet. Where it's so easy now to do graffiti.
You know, it was such a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
During student demonstrations and protests over the budget cuts on this campus to
mm-hmm.
do artwork all over those panels.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if it was the same thing when this building was going up.
Uh-huh.
No, I guess not, though. Okay. Well, you'll forget about that. I wonder if it somehow relate the two graffiti
mm-hmm.
or not graffiti, the two artwork instances together, but they don't match. They don't connect.
Oh, you have a question down here. Did you accomplish what you intended in the first 5 years? Perhaps I should tell you something about the change to the Library of Congress.
Oh, there are all
system.
Kinds of other things to talk to you about. There's LC. There's about the finally obtaining faculty status
oh,
for the librarians
yes.
and unionizing a CSEA and all kinds of other things I can talk to you about. But
mm-hmm.
tell me, yeah. Did you accomplish what you wanted to in the first 5 years?
Oh,
did
I
you
don't
have
know.
Did you have some kind of a deadline or a goal during which you wanted to accomplish certain things?
I did have in mind, though, that we really needed to change from the old Dewey Decimal to the Library of Congress classification system before I came. And I was brought up at the University of Illinois, which was perhaps the biggest library in the world on the Dewey Decimal system. But at Illinois, everybody knew that we should have switched to Library of Congress. The whole staff knew it, but they didn't because they thought the cost would be just too great.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, I have that chance to change. The staff was divided in their opinions about whether we should change to Library of Congress or not. But so we appointed the committee, and finally one day, I think that the committee did recommend fairly strongly that we needed to do it and we should do it now and it wouldn't cost that much. And we would organize it in such a way that we could do it very cheaply. And so I simply announced one time that starting on a certain date, we're going to change the Library of Congress. And the person who was at that time head of the catalog department was, I can't think of her name now.
Well, in fact, I have the name of the person that you assigned to overseeing the whole LC conversion project.
Yes. Well, anyhow, the head cataloger said, well, I'm against it. She said, I know more about the Library of Congress classification system than anybody on this entire library staff, and that's precisely nothing. She was very adamant.
Hmm.
And within days, she resigned. And in those days, librarians could get jobs everywhere because there was a big, big shortage of librarians. And she just took off and went to Chico with an appointment there. And they were still on Dewey Decimal. And Doris Murdoch became head of cataloging, and she thought it was just exactly the thing to do, and this is the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And she very carefully laid out the plans, and we did it.
And you did it very quickly as well.
Rather,
and you did it at the right time.
It took a lot less time than we thought because it was reduced to a routine job done mostly by student assistants.
Mm-hmm. Thank goodness you did it when you did, because if you hadn't done it then, boy, by the way, the collection was growing later on in the 60s and then in the 70s, it would have been a horrendous task.
It was the right
task.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I need to quit, huh?
Let's quit for now. There are more questions that I do want to ask, though.